Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord on today. Welcome to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. Yes, we are here. We are live on the air on today. And I thank God for each and every person tuning in on today. We have a very, 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 very powerful, powerful topic on today. But first, I want to give honor to God who is the head of my life. I give honor to God who is the head of my life. And I give honor to the honorees, the watchman on the wall of this network, Bishop Cook, on this morning, on this afternoon, wherever you're listening to me from, in Jesus' name, amen. Also giving honor to my pastor, Pastor William Tuggle, and my First Lady Cosette Tuggle, in Jesus' name. God bless you all in Jesus' name. Today, we are talking about a very, very powerful topic. It's very simple, but it's very powerful. And today, the Lord has dealt with me on the part of worrying. Worrying. And when we talk about the word worry or worrying, we have a lot of things that we worry about, a lot of things that we can make choices about. But today's topic is don't worry, go in peace. Don't worry, go in peace. And like I said, a lot of us, we have choices that we make on a day-to-day basis. For example, we choose whether what clothes we're going to wear. We choose what house we want, what car we want. We choose what food we're going to eat. We choose what job we're going to have. Amen. But these different choices and these different things that happen in our lives are might bring us worry sometimes, and different challenges in our life and different things that happen in our life might bring us worry. And the Lord does not want us to worry about anything. David in the book of Psalms, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our life like we should, and like we could have, then we don't have to worry for anything. Amen. And if we look in the Bible, if we look in the Word of God, we see that various people had different things that they had to overcome. And the Bible lets us know in certain situations of people's lives in the Bible where they worried about things. But at the end of it all, the Lord stepped in and came through for them. Amen. The thing that we have to realize is that when we worry, we take away from the Lord getting his glory, the Lord getting his honor, the Lord getting whatever he needs out of that situation. Amen. And we have to understand that when the tests and trials come in our life, it is not there to break us, but it is there to make us. It is there to build us. It is there to shape and mold our very faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we look at different ones, such as the three Hebrew boys, such as Moses, such as the woman with the issue of blood, such as different ones in the Bible, that they had their different certain situations that they dealt with. Some dealt with people, some dealt with ailments in their body, some dealt with different tests and trials that they were going through, different flesh, they were dealing with things of the flesh. Amen. So we have to understand that we cannot worry when we go through the tests and trials of life. The worrying takes away from God moving. Amen. When we worry, it slows God's move down. And I'm going to explain it to you. When we focus more on worrying about how the problem is going to be solved, how it's going to be worked out, when we focus more on the worry than the person that can take care of the problem, then we slow God's move down. Amen. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. He's in the midst of those that praise him. He's moved. Amen. The Bible, the songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I praise God for saving me. So what is that song that what we sing these songs in church, and sometimes we don't know some of us, we just sing them on cliche. But when I hear the words, when I hear the songs of Zion being sung in the church or being sung while we're driving in our car, listening to our gospel music or whatever, do we really understand what those songs are saying? Do we really understand what the words of our testimonies really mean to us? Those things helps bring us out of those worries that we might have. Amen. Like the woman with the issue of blood, if we look in Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48, we will see that the woman with the issue of blood, she dealt with this issue. And this was an ailment in her body. And she dealt with this issue, and she dealt with it for 12 years. And for 12 years, she dealt with this issue. And I know, you know, when we deal with ailments in our body, the biggest thing is that we worry. We worry, oh, Lord, if the doctor gives us a bad report, you know, and instantly we start to worry. And it's not something that, because, you know, we're human. We're going to be, okay, well, what do I need to do? Our mind starts moving real fast. Like, I don't know, because we don't know the outcome. We don't know the outcome. And I just pondering in my mind about this woman with the issue of blood, she pondered in her mind when she first heard about this, when she first heard about this illness that she had, or first seen the illness. Amen. And it said that she went to physician after physician. That's why some churches preach about not going to the doctor. I've never said don't go to the doctor. Go to the doctor. And this is just for physical, mental, whatever. Go to the doctor. Amen. And the reason why I say go to the doctor, because there might be some people that are on here that don't believe in going to the doctor. I'm going to tell you right now. Go to the doctor, and I'm going to tell you why. If you have an ailment in your body and you don't go to the doctor, you won't know what that ailment is. The doctor tells us, and I'm going a little bit away from the topic right now, but this is just a little side nugget here, a little knowledge. We go to the doctor to find out about our health issues, right? Well, we need the doctor to tell us what's going on so we can know what to pray for. Amen. That's why I say go to the doctor. That's why I say take your medicine. Because the Lord can heal you through the medication. Amen. Amen. You being obedient unto the one that has the rule over you. And that ain't just your boss. That ain't just our pastors. That's not just our bosses on our job, but that's doctors too. They're the ones that have the rule over us, over our health. Amen. So be obedient to the doctor. Now, if the Lord says different, then you obey the word of the Lord. Now, does that mean that you have to, when they give you a diagnosis, does that mean you have to accept that diagnosis? No, you don't. No, you don't. Because there's a lot of people that worry when they hear about different things going on in their life. They start to worry. Oh man, the doctor said I got this and I got that, and I only got 2 weeks to live. You don't have to accept that, but it's letting you. But going to that doctor is letting us know what to pray for. The Lord gives us insight on what's going on throughout our whole life, and sometimes He gives us knowledge through the doctor. Sometimes He gives us knowledge through the boss. Sometimes He gives us knowledge through a book or whatever it might be. Amen? But somewhere down the line, when we go through those tests and those trials of life, we have to understand we cannot worry. Now, we might ponder on it. We might think on it. Thinking on it and worrying about it is two different things. Thinking about a situation, when I say thinking about a situation and worrying about a situation, the reason why I say it's two different things is because you can think on a situation and pray about it and strategize on what to do. That's not worrying about it. That's you actually taking the initiative down, look at the situation, and like, Lord, what should I do in this situation? What should I do regarding this ailment? What should I do regarding this job? What should I do regarding this? We can, and then once we analyze the situation, that's why it's good. The Bible says to think on these things. Think on these things. And any man that lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. If you don't understand if you don't understand the situation that you're going through, ask of God. Sit down and think about it. Sit down and really think, because that's why I said thinking about it and worrying about it are two different things. Worrying is putting yourself in a place where, oh my God, the doctor done said this, this man done said this, this person done said this to me, and your mind is everywhere. Your emotions are everywhere. You don't know what to do. You doing this. You're moving off your emotions. That's worrying. That's worrying. And that can mess you up not only mentally, but physically too. Because you worrying, you bringing stress on yourself. And the Bible lets us know He wants us in good health. You can't fulfill the ministry that God has called for you to do being in bad health. You can't. Or you won't be able to do it effectively. Amen? So we must understand, people of God, we cannot worry, but we must analyze the situation, and then we must go in peace. After analyzing, after thinking about it, after praying about it, after seeking God, after fasting, praying, staying on our knees, staying in the Word of God, and asking God, what should I do? We asked the Lord, before we got saved and we heard the Word of God, we asked, what must I do to be saved? We actually sat down and said, Lord, what do you want me to do to be saved? And that's the same thing we should do with our problems. That's the same thing we should do with our worries, with our tests and our trials. Lord, what should I do? Lord, where should I go? Lord, how should I take care of this? Lord, how should I manage my money so I can be a lender and not a borrower? How should I do this thing here? How should I be around this individual? How can I lead this individual to Christ? It's all about having wisdom. It's all about having wisdom. When we go through our tests and trials of life, it's all about, and it's not man's wisdom that we're seeking. It's the Lord's wisdom that we're seeking. Lord, how should I do this? This woman with the issue of blood, and I know, when we talk about the woman with the issue of blood, and I know I talk about her a lot, but she's one of my favorite characters in the Bible as far as women are concerned. There's a bunch of women in the Bible, but she is one of my favorite women of the Bible. Amen, because her faith was so strong. For dealing with this for 12 long years, 12 years is a long time, and it may not seem a long time to anybody, to everybody. 12 years is not a long time. 12 years is a long time to somebody with an issue with blood. You dealing with an issue with your blood for 12 years, I can guarantee you could say that for a long time. And the only people that are saying that it's not a long time is you ain't dealt with it. You ain't dealt with it. So we must understand until we cannot worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm encouraging somebody today. I'm here to encourage somebody today. Don't worry, but go in peace. Like Jesus told this woman with the issue of blood, when she got to Jesus, look, see, and this, I was listening to this preacher one time say that when Jesus came to people and healed people, they were healed. But when people came to Jesus, when this woman came to Jesus, she was made whole. We need to do more running to Jesus than we do worrying. I mean, it's simple. It's very simple. We need, as people, and as people of God, we need to do more running than worrying. And when I say running, I'm not saying run to the drugs, the alcohol, the women, the men, or whatever that might give you temporary relief. I'm talking about running to the man that will give you the relief, the everlasting relief, which is Jesus. Run to him with your problems. He said that he will. He placed our burdens upon him. Why do you think the Bible says lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset you? Because he wants to take on the problems that you have. He took on sin, and not only does he want to take on your sin at Calvary, but not only did he want to take on your sin at Calvary, but so that you can have right to eternal life, but he also wanted to take on the problems of your life. Every issue, every time you've cried, every time you said, God, I can't take no more. Every time you're like, God, where are you? He wants to take those problems on. Because he's the only one that can bear it. He knows the feelings of our infirmity. That's one of the reasons why God manifested himself in the flesh so he could feel how we feel. Amen. So he knows how we feel in this life. He knows how we feel. He knows that your flesh is fighting against you. His flesh fought against him. But he didn't let the flesh win. You might say, well, he's God. He's not going to let the flesh win. Yeah, he's God. Felt our pain. He feels everybody's pain. Small, big, great. Doesn't matter what type of pain it is. Emotional, mental. If you feel like you don't have a friend in the world, he said he'll be a friend to the friendless. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. If you don't have a mother today, he's a mother to the motherless. He feels your pain. If you don't have a father today, he's a father to the fatherless. He feels your pain. That's why we can say, don't worry, go in peace. Don't worry, go in peace. And when he said, when he told this woman with the issue of blood, he said in verse 48, he told this woman with the issue of blood, he said, and I'll read it to you. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. And this is in Luke chapter 8, verse 48. Go in peace, which means don't worry about the problem. Don't worry about the issue anymore. But we got to get to Jesus. This woman came to Jesus because she heard that Jesus was coming through her city. And she had to get there. She had to be there. We spend more time trying to get to places that don't, look, I'm going to use it like this. If we could spend time, we spend our energy trying to make it on time for work, at least most of us. We try to do our best to make it to work on time, right? But when we go through a problem in our life, we want to go to other solutions. Why don't we use that same energy to get to Jesus? We feel like the bottle, we feel like the crack, we feel like the weed is going to help us, but it's a temporary fix. And it's a deadly solution, not just naturally, but spiritually. It's weighing you down when we go to the temporary fixes of our life. But we got to run to Jesus. We talked about a topic, all I have is Jesus. All I have is Jesus. That's all I have. All of this other stuff is going to pass away one day. The car, the clothes, the money, this world, this whole world will pass away one day and everything else. But Jesus, he's always there. Even, look, the Bible says, even if you make your bed in hell, he's there. He said he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. Why wouldn't we want to turn to a man that will never leave us and never forsake us? Why? It makes no sense. We have a God that is here to hear our cry, to see our need, to hear some of our wants and some of our desires. But we tend to go to the things that will worry us even more, that will bring us more pain, more degradation. More, why, when we have the solution, when we are, I remember I taught a topic on my podcast. It was entitled Connected to the Source. And in that topic, we were talking about being connected to Jesus. That we spend more time being connected to the resources of our life than being connected to the source of our life. The source connects us to the resources. your source connects you to the resources. When you plug that lamp up to that wall, the source is found in that wall. The electricity is found in that wall. It's not found in the lamp. But as soon as you plug that lamp up to that wall, that power comes from that wall, and it goes into that lamp. That's the same way we need to be connected to Jesus. We need to be connected to him so we don't have to worry, but go in peace. We cannot worry in this life, because if we do more worrying and all of that, if we do more worrying than praising him, than glorifying him and all that, we're going to stress ourselves out physically and spiritually. Mentally, emotionally, you're going to stress yourself out. I'm just being honest. Don't stress yourself out. Now is not the time to be stressed. There's a saying that my pastor used to say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too blessed. Why would I want to stress myself out when I'm too blessed? I'm too blessed to be stressed. There's no reason for it. I got other things. That's why the Bible says think on these things. I got so much stuff to praise God for. I got life. You might say, well, I'm going through this, so I got nothing to praise God. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. You're living on today. You got breath in your body. This is the reason why we give God praise. This is the reason why I live. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives. Because there's that old song that says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And I know who holds my future. He holds my future in his hands. When the Lord has your future in his hands, you can rest assured that you will be blessed beyond measure. But some of us, we try to take our future out of God's hands, and that's when the problems start happening. That's why we worry. When we take our future, when we take our life out of God's hands, See, it says in the Word of God that we can't be plucked out of God's hand. But some of us, we pluck our own self out of God's hand. It's not the devil. It's not man. It's our own self. How do we pluck ourselves out of God's hand? By going to the things that mean us no good in this life, that bring us degradation in our spiritual life. And the reason why it's plucking us out of God's hands, because when we start turning the things that will bring us into damnation, into sin, it removes us away. It moves us further and further away from God. So we're being plucked out. We're being plucked out slowly but surely. I want you to understand this. We have to have the mentality that when the problems come, that we will not worry, but we will hold fast to what thus saith the Lord. When that business is not going right, when you fall flat on your face, because there's going to be some times where you feel like, I don't fell flat on my face. Lord, what am I going to do? When the bills are stacked beyond measure, when the bills are stacked above your head, and you ain't got no money. See, I'm talking about life today. I'm talking about life today. See, sometimes we can be on cloud, and even with that, some of us are being on cloud 9. We on cloud 9, everything going right, everything you know, we in there, and some of us feel like we don't need God right then and there. You still need him. You better not worry yourself. You better not worry yourself. You better check yourself. It's an old saying, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. And the day you think you don't need God, you're wrecking yourself. When you on cloud nine and you everything's going your way and you getting the Lord is blessing you, and then all of a sudden we lose our minds in the church and out of the church. And when I say in the church and out of the church, I'm talking about saints and sinners. Some of us, we lose our minds. I mean, blessing after blessing after blessing and everything. And then we start to get the big head. I don't need God no more. I don't need God right now. Everything's going my way. I'm going to put you on the back, but I'm going to stop praying for a little bit. I'm going to stop fasting. Oh, no. I'm going to wait to read my word. Don't you stop. Don't look. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. If what got you to that place, I'm going to say it like my father told me. Before I got married, my father counseled me and my wife, and he said, Adam, and this is mainly to you, Adam, whatever you did to get your wife, you got to do to keep your wife. If you, for example, if you was buying her flowers before you got her, buy her flowers during your marriage. Now, it doesn't have to be every day, but I still do the same things that I did before I met my wife. I bring her flowers to her job because I want to show that I love her. We do some of that stuff to God, and God starts blessing us. We're praying, we're fasting, we're reading our word. We're on our knees. And then the Lord starts feeling love and starts blessing us and everything. And then we start getting dumb. And we be like, oh, well, I can stop. I got this going on and I got that going on. And then we start worrying. And then we ease up on our prayer life. And then things are still going as normal. Still getting the blessings. And God's like, okay, wait a minute. Brother, come on. What happened? I thought we was gonna have a talk today. Oh no, Jesus, I don't. Not right now. I'll talk to you later. Sis, what happened today? No, Jesus, I'm gonna talk to you. I'll talk to you in a few minutes. I'm doing this right now. And he moves us further and further away, and we wondering why. We're like, wait a minute. And things start going downhill, and then we start wondering why things are going downhill, because we ain't done. We need to keep doing the same thing that we was doing to get there. If we was praying, pray more. If you was fasting, fast more. If you was reading your word, read the word more. We need to, the Bible says be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing, which means always be on guard. So you won't get in that worry state, because there are some saints of God, or lack thereof, that will be on a cloud nine and start doing the pushing away of God. I don't need to pray right now. I'll pray later. And then once life starts going downhill, we're ready to leave God, but it was your fault. God, where are you? Why is all this happening to me? I'm just going to walk away from God. No, that was your fault. You slacked up. Now problems are starting to happen because you're moving God further and further away from you. When you have God closer and closer and closer to you, you get the favor of God. When you have God closer and closer to you, the blessings of God are overtaking you. The devil can't come in. You're under the blood. But when you move God further and further away The devil can easily come in. That's why the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, he slowly comes in. And then all of a sudden there's a wave. There's a song that says there's a storm out over the ocean and it's moving this old way. If your soul's not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away. That's that drifting away. When we don't want to pray, then the worrying starts happening. Then we start getting out of our character, because that the thing that got us to that high in life, and I'm not talking about weed and drugs and all that type of high. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the high in Jesus, the blessings of God, and we on cloud nine, and, oh, can't nobody do me like Jesus. On that high. But once we start pushing God away, when we start saying, well, God, I'll read later. I'll pray later. I got to go to work. And you start worrying about this bill and that bill, and then you start worrying about this and that, and start, because you're pushing God away. You pushing the source that brought you. You cutting the bridge that brought you over. He said he's a bridge over troubled water. Don't cut the bridge that brought you over. Burn the bridge. Don't you burn that bridge. Don't you cut it. Don't burn it. Don't whatever. I forget how the saying goes. I think it's how you burn the bridge that brought you over. Don't burn the bridge that brought you over. Don't you do it. To get to the other side. To get to the grace. We have to keep in communication with God so we can stop worrying. So worry won't be there. Those times of life where only God can work it out, we'll be at peace. We'll be at peace. When other people would be losing their mind, we would be at peace. If another person went through, see, when you're so close to God, when you're so close to the Lord and you have problems going on, there's some problems that you can take on that others can't. They would be in a psych ward. They see you going through it, and they're like, they look like they don't go through anything. I had somebody say that on my job. Like, do you go through anything? Yes. You're always coming in here smiling and laughing because I got the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's why I don't worry about nothing. I analyze stuff. I do think about stuff, but I don't let it worry me. I do not let my problems worry me anymore. I'm getting older. I told myself last year, at the end of last year, in 2023, I will not let these problems of my life worry me. I'm not going to do it. And you might say, well, Brother Adam, you're still a young man. I'm still young, but I would like to live a long life. I would like to live a long life, should the Lord say the same. I am not trying to die before my time, because I don't worry so much. There are people, and I'm being serious when I say this, there are people that have died before their time because of worry. And I'm just saying, I'm just being honest. They worried about this, they worried about that, they worried about this, they're worried about that, they worried about this problem over here, and they got this problem over here and that problem over there, and they combining the two and worrying about both of them. And they done, no, nope. Before I let it worry me, I will give it over to the Lord. That's what I tell my wife that all the time. Don't you worry about that thing. Don't you worry about them people. When they go low, you go high. When people go low on you, trying to mess up your name, trying to do up, you go high. Just make sure that what they're saying ain't true. Ain't got time. I don't have time. And I told my wife that I do not have time for me to be worrying and you to be worrying. So guess what? Guess what we're not going to do? We both not going to worry about the problems of this household. We're not going to worry about the problems of our life. We can think about it. We can pray about it, but we ain't going to worry about it. We ain't going to sit in the middle of the night worrying about this and that and this and that, because we is not going to get no sleep. And I know that's not proper grammar, but I said it like I said it. We is not going to get no sleep. And I love sleep. We're going to sleep peacefully tonight, not worry about it. We're going to pray about it. We're going to give it over to the Lord, and we're going to let it go. Let the chips fall where they may. Should the Lord say the same, the Lord going to work this thing out. Because if he can't work it out, it can't be done. And that's the way we see it. That's the way we're going to do it. And that's the way we should be. The woman with the issue of blood, she got to her last resort. She said, look, if the Lord can't do this, then it can't be done. She done went to physician after physician after physician. Look, I can't get my answer from you. I can't get my answer from you. I can't get my answer from you. So you know what? I'm going to lay it all out there. I'm going to go where I know I can get the answer from. And if I can't get the answer from him, I ain't going to find the answer nowhere. Because like I said, sometimes the Lord does bless us through other vessels. He uses other things. So she went to a physician. She didn't get the relief from there. She didn't get the relief from over there. She didn't get the relief from over there. I understand that. So she went to the doctor, Dr. Jesus, and got her healing. And that's the same thing we need to do. But like my Spirit Alive family, if they want to comment right now, they can. If whoever wants to, amen, you can comment at this time in Jesus' name. Yes, sir.
Yes, I did have a comment about the lady with the issue of blood. And, you know, it's fascinating because we can learn a lesson from her if we look at the text closely. It says that after 12 years, after she spent all that she had, it says, with these physicians who could not help her, they could not answer her problem. After she's now sick and broke, then she goes to Jesus. And the lesson to us is go to Jesus first. And it's not that you don't go to doctors, because sometimes after you go to Jesus, he might say, go to the doctor. As a matter of fact, if you got dad hit by a car, you will go to the doctor first, because you'll probably be unconscious. So the thing is, even in the midst of that, you go to God first when you become conscious. And I'll tell you from personal experience, I've been taken out of the hospital and prayed for and healed. I've been delivered in ways that, you know, when I was 7, I was hit by a taxi cab and busted my knee and my thigh and my pelvis and a bunch of ribs and had a concussion. And after that, when I was 7, God had me in a body cast for a whole summer. So I'm thankful for the physicians and the doctors. I was looking like a mummy. But God totally, 2 years later, when I was 9, I got saved. And it's fascinating because, you know, there is no sign that I had ever been hit by a car. So I'm thankful for physicians. Yet we have to be careful. Because I know a gentleman, a great man of God, who had no benefits, 2 jobs, was doing great, excellent health. He was 65 years old when he got this job for the government. And he goes in to his first physician meeting with his doctor because now he has benefits, right? And they're like, oh, your health is perfect, but we think you're borderline on your blood pressure and we want to give you something for that. That's where they started. He was dead at 6 by the time they got done with him. And we have to be careful. And once again, I'm not saying I am against doctors. What I'm saying is go to God first, and then even after you go to the doctor, go to God again.
Right.
So that's all I had to say, man of God.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, and I want to piggyback off of what you just said. Yes, it is okay to go to the doctor. But also, like I said, you don't have to accept the diagnosis of the doctor. Amen. We do not have to accept the diagnosis of the problem or the issue. Amen. We do not have to accept the diagnosis. The devil might say, well, you know what? This problem is going to overtake you. You ain't got to accept that diagnosis. The Bible says the power of life and death lie in the power of the tongue. And look, and I've said this before, you don't need a big-time prophet. You don't have to go and spend thousands upon thousands of dollars going to see a big-time prophet to get a word, even though prophetic ministry is honorable in the eyesight of God. It's in order. But some of these people, they be charging big sums of money for you either prophetic work. No. My former pastor used to say it all the time, you prophesy over yourself. Prophesy over yourself. Prophesy over yourself. You need a prayer cloth, I will get you. I will get you a prayer cloth. I will anoint it myself. You can anoint it yourself and be blessed. Because some of these crazy people calling themselves ministers of God and saying, well, if you get this water, you'll be blessed. And okay, wait a minute. Okay, wait. You're telling me that if I spend this amount of money, Jesus never charged anybody. Not that I've seen.
Preach.
I've never seen. If you could find it in the Bible where Jesus charged somebody for a healing, you let me know. Show it to me in the Bible. Because Jesus never charged anybody money. Now, he might have charged them and saying, don't tell somebody. He might have charged them to go in peace. And what I mean by charged them, by commanding them to do something. He charged the when the man that was blind, when he put the mud in his eye or put the spittle in his eye, he charged him, go wash. And he went to that water and washed his eyes out, and he was able to receive sight. Now, he might have done something like that, but as far as charging people money, he ain't never charged nobody no money. And you got a lot of these big-time preachers. And I'm sorry to go here, but this is don't worry, go in peace. So we going to don't worry. Don't you worry yourself about getting your money together by going to see this big-time evangelist to try to get a word from somebody, to get a word from this person. That's supposed to be so profound. If you have the same Holy Ghost that they got or whatever, if you got the Holy Ghost, you got the same power of God that's on the inside of them. And speak over your own life. I am not about to worry myself. Look, the Bible also says, know them that labor among you. People forget that. People forget that part. Know them that labor among you. I do not know T.D. Jakes. Never met that man before in my life. And just because I met him once, don't mean I know him. And just because I've watched him on TV couple times or a bunch of times, don't mean I know him. The Bible says, know them that labor among you. I'm saying this, I'm being led of the Holy Ghost to say this, because there are people that are listening to this there are people that listen to preachers on TV, and I'm not just talking about the TV preachers. I'm talking about your local preachers too. They got come to this healing crusade, and you'll be healed. Look, the Bible says, look to the hills from which cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Look to Jesus. Don't you look to that man or that woman to come to your town to receive a healing. You can speak to God yourself. Speak to the Lord yourself. Lord, I need you to heal me. Lord Jesus, I need you to please heal me. Or better yet, praise him. Praise him in the midst of what you're going through and watch God move faster and watch. You won't even need them. See, I'm a preacher that I'm a life preacher. I was up underneath a life preacher in my youth, in my younger day, in my childhood day, in my teenage years. I was underneath a life preacher. And in my adult years, I'm still under life preachers. This is life. This ain't all about teaching. And it's good to know your history of the Bible. But you got to know about life, too. And where the Word of God says about life. Because it's a life book. To teach us how to get through life. To teach us not to worry, but go in peace. To be a lender, and not you will stress yourself out worrying about how to pay your bills. You stressing yourself out trying to worry about how to pay your bills. Learn how, ask the Lord. Look, I'm gonna tell you what I did, and this is something that I did myself personally. If you struggling with your bills, I'm gonna tell you what you do. Tell you what you do, and this is from the Word. You take all your bills and pray over every single one of them. Pray over every single one of them and speak over yourself. Speak over your household. That's what you do. And tell yourself, speak over your own self. I will manage my money right. Speak it into existence. Prophesy over yourself. Lord, teach me how to manage my money so I won't worry when bills get stacked high. I won't worry. Teach me how to do first things first, to pay my tithes, to give my offering, to give to you first, and then give to my house. Because you are the provider. Lord, let me lean and depend on you and not my. The reason why some of us are going through in our households and in our bills is we leaning more on the job than God. Uh-oh. We leaning more to our job than God. When God blessed you with the job, Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As soon as you start giving praise to that job, or that thing that God blessed you with, he can quickly take it away from you. Do you know God can take a little and make a lot out of it? Jesus can take a little and make a lot out of it. You don't believe me? The two fish and five loaves. This was a lad's lunch, a little kid's lunch. He had two fish and five loaves of bread, and Jesus took that two fish and five loaves and fed a multitude of people. He can take a little and make a lot out of it. Once you do your due diligence for him, he can take whatever you have and make a lot out of it. I done seen it happen where you only got a little bit of money, and he'll give you favor on top of the little that you got. Sometimes I've had this happen in my own life where I had a bill, and this happened years ago. I had a bill And it was regarding my light bill. And I had just enough, and I had to make a choice. Either pay my tithes or pay my light bill. It was the amount that my light bill was the amount of my tithes. And I'm like, oh, my Lord, what do I do? And I went to my pastor and my first lady said, you know what to do. You know exactly what to do. But you have to make the decision. You either pay your lights or you pay your tithes. And what did I do? I know some people might be thinking, I would have chose to pay my lights off because I need light. Okay, I don't want to be cursed either. Because the Bible says if you rob a man that robbed God, he cursed. Just saying. In the book of Malachi. So I took that money and I paid my tithes. Put my tithes in the hands of the Levite. And I went down there, was getting ready to go make arrangements and everything to see if I could set up arrangements to pay this bill off. Got there, and they said, Mr. Tuggle, you don't owe anything. We owe you. Now, I'm like, I just got this bill last week. This bill came in the mail. And it said, and it was a good lump sum of money for me. And this is before I got married, so it was a good lump sum for me being by myself. Because I'm like, wait a minute, where did this come from? Because I don't use that much. And I'm like, wait a minute. And so when they said, no, your thing is that you actually have a $200 credit. Excuse me? I had a credit on top of the credit. And I said, well, you make sure to check that again because I don't want to be, you know. She said, no. You have a credit. And for the next, I think it was about three to five months, I didn't pay no light bill because I had a credit. That's what I'm saying. The Lord will teach you how to manage your money. The Lord will teach you if you do God's work first, He'll take care of yours. He will take care of your stuff. He knows how to take a little and make a lot out of it. He knows how to do it. He gave it to you anyway. What makes you think He don't know how to take? He knows what you go through. He knew the bill was coming before you even got it. He knew that car note was going to be there before you got that car. He knew that house note was going to be there before you got that mortgage. But He wants to make you a lender and not a borrower. You lending money. That's how big of a blessing you are. That's how big of a blessing He wants you to be, to lend money to people. And when you lend it, don't look, you be a blessing to somebody. Because I have witnessed that when I do God's business, I'm in a season in my life right now that I'm taking care of God's business first. And when I take care of God's business first, He not only provides for me, but He provides for my family. He provides for my wife, even when I'm not around. He provides for my children, even when I'm not around. Little things here and there, big things here and there. We are right now, at this moment. Later on today, we'll be having a double birthday party for two of my boys, and I asked them where do they want to go, and they told me where they wanted to go and what they wanted to do. And at that time, I'm like, Lord, Like, Lord, we really don't have the money for it to do what they want to do. But you know what? I took care of God's business first, and the Lord blessed us with the money to do what they wanted to do, all because we put God first. When you put God first, He'll take care of all the rest of it.
Amen.
He will make sure that you are well taken care of, and He can take care of you better than anybody else can. Amen. We have to stop worrying. Don't worry and go in peace. Just like this woman with the issue of blood. She did not worry. Now, I can ponder in my mind that she got report after report. And as Bishop Carver said, you know, she spent all that she had to try to find this solution. And some of us, we will give all of ourselves to find the solutions that we need for life. We'll just about go broke spiritually, financially. We will just about give it all to find the solution. But when we give it to Jesus, all things are right.
Hallelujah.
Everything is all right. I can say, my former pastor used to say, who's loving you right now? Jesus. Who's holding you right now? Jesus. Who's keeping you right now? Jesus. And that's why we can say, I got joy. She used to say, let the church say joy. Why? Because we got Jesus. And we do not have to worry about a thing. That's why David knew who he was serving. That's why he said, I want you to lead me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He knew who he was serving. He knew exactly who he was serving. Job knew exactly who he was serving. That's why he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The three Hebrew boys knew who they were serving. That's why they were able to stand up to King Nebuchadnezzar the way they did. And we have to be like-minded, knowing who we serve, knowing the God of our salvation. All these other false gods that they got out there, man trying to make themselves out of a god, it sounds crazy, but it's real. There are people out there, not just in Hollywood, but in that living normal lives, that think they are God. I had a person on a job that I used to work at. I had a person tell me that they were a God, and I looked at him. You are? Oh yeah, yeah. Because they asked me, well, why are you serving a God that you can't see? Why am I serving a God I can't see? I said, okay. I said, well, what God should I serve? He said, well, you're a God. Excuse me? No, I'm not. I'm not a God. Who told you that? He said, oh, we're God. We're all God. I'm not. No. I might have, by what the Lord gives me, I might have the ability to make some choices. But that doesn't make me a God because I'm able to make some choices in my life. And he said, well, why are you serving a God that you can't see, touch, nor feel? Well, I told him, I said, well, first of all, a couple of things that you said is wrong. Said, you're right, I've never seen Jesus. Never seen him. I've never seen him. But I've never touched him physically. You're right. I've never seen him and I've never touched him. But I can feel him though. And he said, you can feel Jesus? Yes. I can feel him. I can feel him in my hands. I can feel him in my feet. I can feel him all over me. He's keeping me alive. He's on the right. He's on the left. He's on the front. He's in the back. He's all over me, and he's keeping me alive. And he said, well, I'm a God. I said, okay, you're a God. I said, well, why would I want to serve a God that has no power? He said, what do you mean? Because I don't have the ability to raise people from the dead. You don't have the ability to raise nobody from the dead. Jesus does. And I said, if you was a God, why are you working where I'm working at? Not to diminish the job, but if you a powerful God, you supposed. Why are you not where you are? Where you want to be in life? Because the God that I serve, he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He owns it all. He holds the whole world in his hands. He, the power of life and death. He was able to go down to hell and take the keys of hell and death from Satan. That's what type of God I serve. But you, can you do that? Nope. Can you die for every person that has come before you and after you? Die for their sins? Nope, can't do that. You a little bit limited, bro. Actually, it ain't even a little bit. It's a lot. You limited a lot. For me, I serve a God that's unlimited. He's got unlimited power with unlimited favor, with unlimited blessings if I choose to serve him. Amen. I pray that you got something out of this on today. You might say, well, Brother Adam, go on, continue. I need to know more. That's all I have. The Lord is when the Lord tells me to be quiet, I'll be quiet. I'm quiet. Amen. But don't worry. Don't worry about your problems. Don't worry about your issues. But the only way you don't have to worry is if you give them to Jesus. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way for us to see the Lord's face in peace. This is the only way to see heaven one day. And like I told somebody one time that there are 1,000,001 NBA players, people that want to be NBA players. There's a lot of great NFL players, a lot of great NBA players, but very few people make it in the Hall of Fame. And that's the same thing with heaven. That's the same thing with heaven. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name. Got to get the Holy Ghost to make it to heaven. In Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And until next time, like my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.